Thank you very much, Kathy, for your introduction and the invitation to be here briefly this morning to open this Financial Services Forum focusing on the role of internal audit in financial services firms. The RBA's audit department has a long association with the IIA, and we're strong supporters of the work that you do. The fact that you're holding this forum, the second of its kind, I understand, is significant. I don't need to tell any of you that there have been many practices exposed in global financial institutions over recent years that show poor risk management and failure of controls over lending and trading activities. The fact that these things continue to surface is a clear indication that the subject matter of today's forum remains very relevant. From my own experience in the RBA, stretching almost to 32 years now, I've gained a growing appreciation of the importance of internal audit in a financial institution. And I might say that hearing that a goal of the IIA is to get generally accepted how essential internal audit is, well, certainly I personally do accept that fully. The RBA, of course, is very much a bank, not a government department as such. It's a financial institution. We have an $80 billion balance sheet to manage. We provide a range of banking services to government clients. We operate critical pieces of financial infrastructure, and we rely heavily on IT systems to deliver those services. Over the years, we've worked to develop a detailed risk management framework to identify where the key risks in all of that lay and to set out how they'll be managed. But even though a lot of work has gone into developing that framework, like any risk management framework, it can only ever be a work in progress, and it remains under continual review. Complementing that framework, our internal audit program focuses its attention on the most important risks that have been identified by the management and assesses how effective they are and the degree of compliance with them. Like I guess most auditors today, our audit people take a broad view of their responsibilities, reviewing not only the effectiveness of controls, but whether they're the most efficient way to achieve the end in view. I know that they're conscious that the procedures that they might have recommended in the past might no longer be appropriate today, given changes in technology. And of course, given changes in technology, there are continuing challenges to both our systems operators and our auditors as they confront the threats to the security of our data and our communications processes. Our audit department's work is overseen by the board's audit committee, which has among its members two of our external directors. One of those, Gillian Broadbent, is the chair. And the committee also draws on external expertise in assessing the overall audit work of the bank. I regard that as a critical part of our governance structure. Those arrangements, of course, are not particularly unique at all. They're designed to comply with the requirements for Commonwealth authorities and also to be in line with good practice at commercial entities. But they do, I think, give us in the RBA an insight into some of the practical challenges that face other financial organisations. In particular, and of relevance to this audience, we're acutely conscious of the challenges involved in appointing, training and keeping an audit staff capable of assessing whether the controls are working as they should. Our audit team, like any other, has to continually upgrade and improve its understanding of the breadth and depth of the business and the changes to it. And to maintain best practice, our auditors need to ensure that their technical skills remain up to speed. And in this regard, the IIA's training and certification processes play an important role in assisting that process. Fostering improvements to the practices in identifying and managing risks and in improvements to the audit processes that are an integral part of that, this is all central to the development of policies aimed at fostering greater financial stability, both domestically and internationally. The financial stresses of the past several years have placed a much greater emphasis on this side of our work in the RBA. There are a few signs that that additional focus is going to lessen anytime soon. If anything, it's likely to increase. Domestically, the bank have worked closely with other members of the Council of Financial Regulators on a number of initiatives. These include the Financial Claims Scheme, the structure of financial market regulation, and the role of central counterparties in the settlement of securities and derivatives transactions. Internationally, through our membership of the Financial Stability Board, the Basel Committee for Bank Supervision and the G20, we have, along with our colleagues in APRA and the Treasury, been involved in efforts to strengthen the financial architecture internationally, the rules governing the risks to which financial institutions are exposed, and the buffers of capital and liquidity that they're obliged to maintain in case things go wrong. The implications of these initiatives for the way in which financial institutions are managed are potentially far-reaching. They're also important for internal auditors in at least two respects. Firstly, they're designed to make the institutions you work in more resilient in the face of a wide range of pressures. So if these changes are implemented effectively, they should help you sleep better at night. But secondly, many of these changes are complex and challenging to implement. They require very significant shifts in the way that financial institutions operate, and they'll require even more focus on the effectiveness of controls to manage risk. So there's clearly a need for internal auditors to keep abreast of these developments in financial institutions and regulation, so that you can play the role expected of you in contributing to good corporate governance and thus to improved financial stability. Australia's corporations and governments, not to mention savers and investors and shareholders, rely heavily on your work, and it's crucial that it's done well. Today's agenda suggests that you should finish the day even better equipped than you already are to meet that challenge. And with that, let me wish you a successful day and success in the future. Thank you.